Buenos días. Good morning. It's good to be back here at Union Church. My parents were here for several years. My dad was an elder, and my wife and I actually got married right here. So it's always good to be back here at a familiar place. I've been coming to Union Church for many, many years. It's a privilege that Mark would invite me back in spite of maybe knowing some of my teenage years here in Guatemala. But today, Mark asked me to share with you guys about the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd is a wonderful passage that we see in John chapter 10. But I wanted to turn it around and look at the other part of that passage as well. But first of all, let's think about how we herd animals. If you've seen how different animals are herded, maybe you've seen a good Western and seen how cows are herded. They're herded on horseback from behind. There's the cowboys on the horses trying to wrangle the cows through the field. Maybe you've seen how in China they herd the ducks. They usually the duck farmer, I don't know what you'd call him, not a cowboy, but the duck farmer, he's got these big sticks, and sometimes they have little feathers or a flag at each end, and he's got two sticks, and he's trying to herd the ducks from behind. Or here in Guatemala, which is very common, in different neighborhoods, you may have seen goats, and seen the goat herder with a little whip that they crack. You know, whoop-ah! And he walks behind, and you get your fresh cup of goat milk right there, a pie de la cabra, como dicen. And, you know, sometimes those goats, you got to grab them by the horns and drag them sometimes, but they're a little bit more stubborn than others. But you're herding the goats from behind. Now, sheep, on the other hand, are a little bit different. Sheep, and I'm not talking about those big farms that you see in New Zealand where they use the sheep dogs, which is very impressive in and of itself. I'm talking smaller farms. You know, like if you've gone up to Huehuetenango, to the Cuchumatanes, have you seen the sheep herders up there? The beautiful stone walls makes you think of Scotland and the sheep herders in Scotland. You know, the families up there in the Cuchumatanes herd from in front. They call out to the sheep come running. Sheep farmers spend a lot of time with their sheep. I don't really see much of cowboys sitting around, lazing around with the cows out in the pasture. They let the cows out. When it's time to go call them, they go get the horses, they round them up. Sheep farmers, they sit with their sheep. They get to know their sheep. Their sheep get to know their voice. It's a more intimate relationship. It's getting to know each other and the sheep getting to know them and the shepherd getting to know their needs and understanding their situation, seeing what's going on. And that's the difference. Sheep follow the shepherd's voice. And that's what it says here in John chapter 10. It talks about following the shepherd's voice. Now, what's the other passage that we like to listen about the shepherd? Psalm 23. What does Psalm 23 tell us? All the wonderful things that we get when we follow the shepherd. And some of those good things are green meadows. Provision. Who doesn't like a nice green meadow to walk through? Now, for a sheep, what does a green meadow mean? It's what you guys are going to do in a couple hours. Go out and have a good meal, right? Take a Sunday afternoon nap, regain your strength and energy, and get ready for the new week. You know, peaceful streams, a bubbling brook. You know, some of you have even duplicated that in your homes by putting a water feature or a fountain or buying those little desktop water things, so you have that little blue, 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 or you just do it falsely by putting the white noise on your phone while you're trying to take a nap or whatever. But that bubbling brook, that brings peace, right? That brings us refreshing. That brings us joy. Right paths, says that the good shepherd leads us through the right paths. The word in Hebrew is derek. Derek is the path, the journey, the trajectory through life which you walk. God leads us on the right path. Now, as we say in Buen Chapin, a veces somos tercos, and we get off the path, and we stray from the right path. But the right path that God leads us on, that's the derrick through life that we travel. The rod and the staff, protection. I walk through the valley of shadow of death, but I fear not. Why? Because he's got his rod and his staff. He's protecting us. His angels stand guard around us. We make jokes about our guardian angel, but we do have guardian angels. God protects us and guards us and keeps us. Sometimes simple things. About a month and a half ago, maybe longer, I don't remember the exact day, there was a massive accident. A big tanker truck crashed into a bunch of cars over there on Carretera Interamericana right before San Cristobal's torn off. I was five cars behind the accident. You know why I was five cars behind the accident? Because as I was leaving my office, I needed to go get another piece of paper. Something that I left on my desk, and I went back. Otherwise, I'd have been right in the middle of it. That's how God protects us sometimes. We like that part of the Good Shepherd. We love that part of where God protects us. The feast. He prepares a feast for us. Union Church, you guys know there's nothing better than a good Thanksgiving dinner. A table full of turkey and dressing and all the good things that we all love to eat. When I married my wife, Claudia, my friends in Quetzaltenango say that I was assembled in Quetzaltenango with imported parts. My wife was assembled in Guatemala with Guatemalan parts. She's 100% Chapin. She didn't know what Thanksgiving was because of, obviously, that's an American tradition. But she asked me right after we got married, she says, what for you is the most important festivity or holiday throughout the year? And I told her Thanksgiving. And she went forth from my grandmother's and from my mother to learn all the recipes. And now she makes turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and a pecan pie and rolls and 10 different casseroles. And it's just amazing. That is my love language, food and chocolate. But, you know, Psalm 23 goes on. It talks about the anointing oil. That's health. That's healing. When we're sick, when we get older, we like that our good shepherd takes care of us. And a good shepherd does that in the field. They used oil to heal a lot of the wounds and the scratches that the sheep get. It helps penetrate their wool and protect them from the insects as well. Our overflowing cup, that's generous blessing. Who doesn't like an overflowing cup? Now, not on your lap or in the coffee table, literally, but we like the overflowing cup of blessings. We like for our bank account to be overflowing, right? Amen? You know, those are the things that we love about the Good Shepherd. We're loved, a sense of belonging, a sense of family, and a home that he's preparing for us, a place to go. Those are all the things we love about the Good Shepherd. But there's another side of John 10. And that other side of John 10 is the question I want to focus on today. The Good Shepherd isn't just the Good Shepherd that provides all those things. Four times he talks about sacrifice. What is the sacrifice? I sacrifice myself for you. And so my question for us today is, what is your relationship with the Good Shepherd? And what is the sacrifice he's asking you to do? So I want us to focus on three key questions that are essential to understanding our relationship with the Good Shepherd. First question that we have to ask ourselves, are you a wolf or a sheep? What's the difference when the wolf hears the voice of the Good Shepherd and a sheep hears the voice of the Good Shepherd? The wolf is fearful when he hears the voice. The sheep, as we said, is comforted. The wolf feels threatened because he's going to be attacked by the shepherd, by the rod and the staff. The sheep feel protected by the rod and the staff. The wolf pushed away because he is alien to the voice of the shepherd. The sheep drawn in because they're familiar to the voice of the shepherd. The wolf lurks in the shadows. The shepherd draws the sheep into the light, into the comfort of our God. So my first question, and this is the key, this is the most important part of what we need to understand, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is the one and only true Lord and Savior. Because if we haven't, the rest of the message is irrelevant. That's the starting point. Is he your good shepherd? Do you obey him as your father? Do you hear him and are drawn to him? Or are you... They're talking about giving an offering again. Solo pisto quiere el pastor. They want me to give something. They want me to serve at church. Then if that's your response, there's something wrong between here and here. There's a disconnect. Being a servant of God is not just saying the magical words, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and I want to be your son. There has to be that heart commitment. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior. That's our first action. Our second question is, how closely are you walking with the shepherd? We all know the story of the one lost sheep. He left the 99 to go find the one. Are you that one? Are you that one that's wandering? He's a sheep. He's part of the flock, but he's wandered off. That's my story. I accepted the Lord and was baptized when I was 12. But high school and college, I wandered off. I walked away because I didn't fully have that strong relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, as they say, you will become like the five people you hang out with. If your five closest friends are all divorced, you're probably along the same path. If your five closest friends are happily married, you'll probably remain married. If your five closest friends are always in financial problems and never getting out of debt, just racking up more credit, you'll probably do the same. If your five closest friends are financially successful and prudent with their money and wise and saving and growing, you probably will too. In Old Testament times, disciples, their goal in life was to walk as close to their rabbi that the dust of their sandals would fall on them and they would be covered in the dust. You know, right now we hate the dust here. It's dry season, it's hot, it's dusty, it's windy, you wash your car, you go out the next day, and it looks like you didn't do it, right? Dust everywhere. But back then, they wanted that dust on them. They wanted the physical aura of their rabbi to cover them. Are you walking close enough to Jesus so that you get his dust on you? Are you covered in the dust of his sandals? Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Are you walking close enough to Jesus so that you're willing to sacrifice those things? Is there anything wrong with having nice things? No. There's nothing wrong with having a nice car, having a summer home, having a nice bank account, having good food. It's wrong if those things become your God. It's wrong if those things become our priority. It's wrong if those things become the essence. It's no longer having the desire and the passion for those things. Enjoying them, but that not being your passion. Our passion is Jesus Christ, and that's where we follow. The older we get, we don't become grumpier. The older we get, the more like Christ we should be. More like Christ is what our goal should be. As the dust settles on us, how closely are you walking to God? How closely is the dust of God falling on you? So, if your life is not reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, there needs to be a change. What is it that needs to change in your life? You've accepted Jesus, okay? You can hear his voice. You are a sheep. But are you walking in his dust? What needs to change in your life so that you are reflecting Jesus to others around you? There's repentance. Okay, I accepted the Lord, but I've since done XYZ. There's repentance. There's transformation. There's restoration. Maybe there's a release of bitterness. Someone offended you. You know that unforgiveness is the poison that kills you, not them? Many times the person that offended you doesn't even realize it. As we say in Guatemala, solo me hacen caras, pero no entiendo el por qué, right? And sometimes we are so bitter and angry about something that happened to us that it kills us more than them. And forgiveness is not releasing them from their responsibility and guilt. It's releasing us from the bitterness in our heart so that we can walk closer to Jesus. Because the bitterness in our heart spills over to those that we love and we care for and we relate to. Maybe we need to read our Bible more, spend more time in the Word. As Paul said, nose to the book and knees on the ground and hands to the air. I like that. That's how we should spend our time. Are you spending time truly with your nose in the book? And when he says the book, it's the Bible, obviously. Not any book. Not the Book of Mormon. Not Facebook. Not Quran. The book. Spending your nose in the book and too much time in this book of Facebook. Yeah. But it's where are you spending your time and where are you spending your energy? Where are you growing in truth? There's only one truth in this world, and that's the truth of Jesus Christ. They sell us out there that there's many truths. You make your own truth. You make your own truth. You make your own truth. There's one truth. And at the end of time, we're going to have to surrender to that truth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess when the time comes. And refocusing our priorities. If our priorities is to get that next best car, to get that next thing, to get that next promotion, to get that next, that's the wrong priority. Nothing wrong with those things. But the priority is, Father, if I can use what I have for your glory, if you want to give me this promotion for your glory so that I can do more, if you want to provide me with another home so that I can use it for a blessing somebody else in some way, I don't know. The priority needs to be Jesus and not the things that we have. That's how we walk closer to God. That's how we get closer to Him and His truth. When our lives are focused on what He wants for us. Third question. First, am I a sheep? Have I accepted Jesus? Second, am I following Him close enough for His dust to be on me? And thirdly, how has my closeness in Christ impacted the lives of others? Has it? Has your life impacted other people? Has your life been a blessing to somebody else? Have your resources and your knowledge and your capabilities been something that has been a blessing to someone else? As sheep, we're not called to just sit and look pretty. We're not called to just relax in the green meadows. And that's the part we love to focus on. He's the good shepherd and I just sit in the pasture. Four times in the chapter of 10 of John, he talks about sacrifice. I sacrifice my life. I sacrifice my life. I sacrifice my life. If he sacrifices his life, what does he want us to do? If we're to imitate him. We're to sacrifice as well. We're to give of ourselves. We're to be a blessing to others. The resources God gives us is not for our own benefit. It's to take care of us, yes. But he blesses us to bless others. He provides for us so we can provide for others. He gives us wisdom, insight, and understanding so that we can then use that wisdom, insight, and understanding to counsel others, to encourage others, to uplift others. How are ways in which we can bless others and sacrificially love? Have you prayed for others?
And I'm not talking about the prayer groups where, did you hear about Fulana de Tal? You heard about Sister Mary, right? And what's going on in her life. And you heard about Brother John and what's happening, you know. Those are gossip sessions. I'm talking about true prayer. Where sometimes you just hear about something, or you, I just need to pray for Bob this morning. I don't know why. I just feel like I need to pray for Martha this morning. And I don't know why. I don't know if there's something going on. Do you truly pray for those that are around you? And pray into their lives and pray for their lives. Sharing the gospel. Does that mean that everybody that comes to church and is a sheep has to stand up here and preach the gospel? No. Preaching the gospel many times is done better through actions than through words. And sometimes they say that people can't hear the gospel because we get in the way. Why? Because our actions speak louder than words. And if our lives are not living the gospel, how can they hear the gospel through word? Many times, just simply being there and being present in someone's life. Now, there is a point where you have to verbally share the gospel, because it's through hearing that they will believe in the word of God, and they will confess with their mouth and believe with their heart. Remember? But it's sharing the gospel is through action, through walking the path with somebody. It's through being there day after day after day. One of the things that our ministry did when we first started to work in Zone 18, which is where Ngadi Ministries focuses our efforts, is we built a soccer stadium right in the middle of gang territory. It was not our property. It belongs to the Ministerio de Cultura y Deporte, with whom we couldn't even get an appointment to get permission to even build on the field, because they didn't want anything to do with Zone 18. And we just went in there and built. We didn't preach the gospel. We didn't have campañas evangelísticas. We just dug a trench, laid some block, dug a trench, laid some block, dug a trench, laid some block, poured some concrete. And through that process, there was this one old man that said, "You're crazy. Why are you doing this? What are you doing in our neighborhood? You don't belong here." Well, Jesus told me to build some stadium seating. When we got about halfway down the soccer field, he says, "There's something special about you." I said, "It's not me, it's Jesus." And then I got to share the gospel with him. Then he accepted the Lord, and then he led his family, his neighbors, and he continues to share the gospel, not because I stood and preached a sermon, but because I knelt and built a stadium. Our actions speak louder than words when we share the gospel. Be generous. Be generous is another way in which we can reflect and sacrifice. How can you be generous? 10% goes to the church, your tithe. Generosity is above and beyond that. To a ministry, to the same church, to somebody you see in need. And not just the 5 quetzales that you give to the kid at the semáforo. A single mom that you see is struggling, that needs a weekend of groceries. Maybe it's a single mom that just needs a weekend away from her kids and you can babysit. Maybe it's an opportunity that you see a family that needs something that you can provide for them. There's different ways. There's different means of being a blessing to other people's lives. And that is where God will come in and show you what to do. Another way is through healing. Remember we talked about the oil? The oil is healing. Maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you know how to heal people. Maybe you just pray for them. And truly pray for the sick. May the word of God penetrate their lives and heal their bodies. And you know, I know that there's some churches that kind of go off the deep end with that sort of stuff. But prayer is powerful. And we need to pray for those that are sick. Pray for those that are in the hospital. Pray for those that God continues to want to use them for their purpose and services here. Make peace. Remember we talked about forgiveness? Make peace with those that you've offended. And peace with those that have offended you. God is in the business of restoring relationships. His job is to restore people to himself. Our job is to imitate that by restoring others that we have offended or have offended us. And finally, we get closer to Jesus when we have a kingdom perspective. When we see things through the eyes of Jesus. You don't see just a drunk on the side of the street. You see the heart of somebody that God loves. We don't see the people that are in prison or in the hospital as useless human beings that don't deserve anything. Christ died for them too. You don't see the politicians that we all complain about. Regardless of what country and regardless of what side you're on, we're always going to complain about some politician that's corrupt, right? I think even the Salvadoranians complain about their president. But we always complain about somebody. Even the politicians are people of God that he loves, that he wants a relationship with. So where are you in this process? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? More than just say the words, have you truly accepted him here? Are you growing in likeness? Is his dust covering you? And if so, how are you living sacrificially like Christ? And I think those are the key essence of understanding the Good Shepherd. Not focusing just on Psalm 23, which we all love. I love laying down in a green pasture by a bubbling brook in a tent with a campfire. That's where I'd rather be most weekends, to be honest, on top of a volcano. But God calls us to come down and serve him. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you, Father, for all the good that you show us in Psalm 23 and the loving and blessing and the restoration that you want for us. But Father, may we not stay there. May we see the importance of the sacrifice, recognizing what it is that you want to do in and through us, recognizing what it is that you have blessed us and provided us and gifted us with to serve those around us. May we walk in your truth and be a reflection of your light all the days of our lives as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.